Hello and welcome to The Two Dyspraxics. I'm Matthew Munson.
And I'm Barbara Neal.
So today we are going to pinch a title from Fairport Convention, the title of one of their albums actually. It's called What We Did On Our Holidays, only as far as Matthew and I are concerned, this is what we did on our holidays, or what we've been up to during the break from podcasting.
Who's that band you mentioned?
Fairport Convention.
Who the hell are they?
Oh, you're joking.
Oh. Yeah, where are them?
Mouth out. they are, I would say, probably the foremost folk rock band. They've been around for years, and they are brilliant.
Oh, I'll take your word on that.
Yeah, so...
I shall Spotify some of their music later.
Oh, you must. I could probably send you some links and things anyway.
Yeah, please. I've listened to them. Folk and rock is not what I'd normally put together, but okay, I'll give it a go.
Oh, you haven't lived till we've heard Fairport, but still. But that's another story. That's not what we're supposed to
do. No, I'm sorry.
I know it's all my fault.
I'm happy to blame you, Barbara. I really am.
But what we did on our holidays, so it is basically about what we've been up to during the course of the summer while podcasting. So do you want to kick off with what you've been up to, Matthew?
Oh God, okay. Well, I can't believe it's been about 3 months, isn't it, since we've last actually podcast. That's scary. So what have I done this summer? Went away with my boy, took him to a caravan on the Isle of Sheppey because we like to live dangerously.
Oh yes.
So it was like one of those sort of static caravan parks, you know, so we did that for a week. We did that for, 5 days. That was our first sort of, because obviously Brian's lived at home now for about 2.5 years. He's 10 now. And I kind of thought I didn't want to go too far because I didn't want to know how he'd react to that. So we had a good time. And also, to be fair, I wanted to see how I'd react because I hadn't been on a caravan holiday since I was probably a teenager with my parents, and they didn't really enjoy it, and I don't think I enjoyed it very much. It was quite noisy, so I think we actually ended up coming home early, so I kind of was a bit nervous about how I'd react with my lad. But it was good. He made some friends while we were there, and I just pottered around, and it was quite good fun, actually. So that was nice. I changed job. I think I said to you before we started calling, I changed jobs twice over the summer. As you do, got headhunted for a job, which was lovely. Started the job, then got headhunted. No, that's not fair. Not headhunted back. I got asked if I would like to return after 11 weeks in the job, and I eagerly said yes, because I felt it was right to go back. I kind of missed the job I was doing before, and I think on reflection, I think I kind of regretted moving, if I'm probably completely honest with you. So I was quite happy to sort of return to the old job as a comfortable blanket. I can work from home, I can sort of set my own hours to a degree. It was quite nice. So
good. Yeah, it's important to be doing something you enjoy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those things that I think we've all probably been there. You know, if you get offered a job and it looks interesting, I think all of us will probably regret not trying it, regret at least not giving it a go. And I know I would have done. I'd always gone, what if? What if I'd have done that? What if I hadn't? If I'd have given that a go? Well, I did give it a go, and actually, it was right to go back to the job before. You know, you live and learn with those kind of things. Didn't leave on bad terms with them. I was less on good terms with the people that I'd started with, and 11 weeks later left. So from that point of view, it was quite an eventful summer. But it made me appreciate, actually, one thing that I think for me, starting to working from home at the start of the, oh God, how long ago was that now? About 18 months ago, starting working from home at the outbreak of the pandemic. Yeah, I hated it. Hated working from home at the start, but I was also trying to home educate Brian. Whereas now, you know, I've started, after a summer of working in an office again, I've gone back to working from home 4 days a week and working in the office 1 day a week. And it made me appreciate actually the benefits of both. you know, and that flexibility I've got, which I kind of didn't feel like I'd got working back in an office. So I've become more of a convert than I think I ever was before of home working, I guess.
I think there's definitely a lot to be said for it. And, yeah. You know, I only work 4 hours a week now because I'm basically retired, theoretically. But
Barbara, you'll never fully retire.
No, I know. I know it's never going to happen because I'm busier now than I ever was.
Well, actually, this point is a good opportunity. So tell me about your summer. What have you been up to?
Well, there's a major change in our family in that son number two is getting married next week. As we're recording, so it's next week. And so he's actually, I'll just tell you a quick thing about his stag do, which they went, his best man, who is Ellen, who lives across the road from us, she arranged a stag do. She did a sterling job. She arranged for them to all go to Go Ape at Leeds Castle. So lots of treetop adventure things that they had to do and zip wires and things. And I have to say that Jim was really good at it. He was dreading it because he said, I don't care what we do as long as there's no heights involved. They put this, I think it was meant to be a stag mask, but it looked more like a doe.
Oh, my God.
Wearing this, didn't have any idea where he was going. They gave him the impression that they were going skydiving, so he was petrified at the thought of that. Then somewhat relieved when they got to Go Ape and saw it was zip wires and things. And so he did really well on the zip wire every time, apparently. So he's very keen on it, wants to go again. And then in the evening when they all went out for drinks in Maidstone, they made him wear a dress that said bride-to-be and something else, which I won't mention. But you don't want to know.
Yeah, I think that's a question best left for Jim.
Yes, that's more about what Jim did on my holidays.
Yeah. Well, but then you're going to be, of course, you're going to be mother of the groom.
Yes, I'll be mother of the groom. So I've got the poncy hat and the posh frocks and all that kind of lark. Good thing there'll be photographic evidence. That's all I can say. Or maybe not. I don't know.
I'm sure someone will take a picture and put it on Facebook and tag you in it.
Don't give anyone ideas.
That's what I'm hoping. I want to see pictures of you in a fancy dress and a fancy hat because I'm used to seeing you in like jeans and stuff, which is your comfort level.
Yep, wearing jeans as we speak. and a T-shirt that says, "My heart belongs to an awesome bass player."
Well,
that's yet another story. But what I did on my
holiday, I can say, Barbara, on that story is I hope our producer is listening. But that's over there.
Oh, he knows.
<about. Yeah. laughs>
But what I did on my holidays, that whole thing about Jim getting married and the stag and everything is building up to the fact that he's moved out of the house and I have inherited his bedroom. So I've given it a total refurb. Though in fairness, he and his fiance painted the walls and the ceiling. So they did that bit because I couldn't face that. I've done plenty of that in my time, but I just couldn't face it. But I've been acquiring furniture. A desk I already had, actually, which was just pine. And a pine chest of drawers, which I bought. And a pine, it's supposed to be a TV unit, which I acquired for free.
Mm.
And I painted them. I've left the tops pine. And, it's all pine, obviously, but I painted the rest of the pieces of furniture as sort of, what's it called? Natural calico. Dulux natural calico. So it's a creamy sort of colour. And bought some very expensive cup handles. Had a crack at putting those on. Bought a drill to do the job. And, it was a nightmare because they didn't just have, like, screws that you can just screw them in. They've got, like... I don't know what you call them. There's probably a special name for them, but things that you have to sink into the wood and then screw them in from the inside of the drawer.
Oh,
and
God.
That, frankly, was beyond my capabilities. So I did enlist the help of the cavalry in the form of a handyman to put the handles on. But
Of interest, with all that kind of the practical stuff you were doing, how did you find it, obviously being dyspraptic as we are,
yeah.
How easy your hard? I know you obviously had to get the cavalry for part of it. How easy or hard did you find the bits that you could do, even the painting and stuff?
It was a challenge, though painting I find very therapeutic because I just take my time and my nature to slow down things I'm tackling anyway. you know, that's how I do it. That's how I cope with everything. Probably because I'm dyspraxic, but that's certainly how I handle things. So I found the painting was a nice, slow, easy process, and I really enjoyed it. But it was, I think the biggest challenge really was how to fit things, and everything fits like a blooming glove in here, honestly, because the chest of drawers and the desk now look as though they're twins. each other. And the piece of furniture that was originally a TV unit, it's just small. It's just a small one. There was already a floating shelf in the room, and I wanted something that was exactly the same width as the floating shelf. It's actually for hi-fi separates. And so I've got a record deck standing on top of that and an amplifier, which I haven't used for years. It still powers up, but I haven't actually tried it yet, so I'm hoping it still works. That fits perfectly into the aperture.
Wow.
And then each side, I've got bookcases, each side of that. I've got TV mounted above that. And it just fits like a glove. We were so, no, we weren't, I was going to say we were so lucky that everything fitted perfectly, but there was luck involved. But I measured everything and I was just going around, I just permanently had a, or consistently had a measuring tape in my hand for 2 weeks. You know, I've just been, I've had an idea. Maybe if that goes there, you know, and just making things fit really well. So yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. Although having said that, it's not finished yet because I've discovered I've got way more books than I can accommodate. So a lot of books have got to go, and various other bits and pieces have got to go. I've got a CD cabinet that I put on eBay this morning, so that's got to go.
I've never really used eBay too much. I'm not, apart, I obviously bought things on eBay, but I've not kind of done much selling on it.
No.
I've not been organised enough.
I haven't done much selling on it, but I found something that's interesting because there were a few bits, more than a few bits, that Jim's left behind that have had to go as well. And one of these things was an Iron Man canvas, you know, Iron Man.
The comic. Oh, from Marvel, yeah. Yeah.
That's it. And I advertised it on Facebook, advertised it all over the place. I only wanted £5 for it, but nobody seemed to be very interested in it. So I found that there was somebody who was selling a very similar one, an Iron Man canvas, for £15. So I thought, brilliant, advertise it in exactly the same place for a fiver, and it went in no time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so that's basically what I've been up to.
I tell you what, isn't it funny how I was thinking about this recently, how I mean, obviously last year, 20, obviously we're recording this 2021, last year, 2020, the pandemic, you know, we couldn't travel, we couldn't go further than sort of our front yards, maybe to the local park, and, you know, none of the shops are open apart from the supermarkets or central providers.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cinemas were closed and, you know, holiday camps were closed. And now here we are a year later, and it feels kind of comfortable again. Do you know what I mean? Just to be doing these little things like you popping out and buying a few little bits.
Yes.
For your new bedroom. You know, for me, taking Bond to a holiday to a caravan park for a week, it's this summer. I don't know if you feel this, but for this summer, I feel more grateful for this summer because we've lived through last summer, which was just basically a write-off.
Yes.
I haven't been on a foreign holiday this year. Not particularly. I'm not fussed about that, but haven't done anything particularly expensive. I couldn't afford it anyway. But we've just had the freedom to move around a bit more, and it's been lovely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's been really nice. And actually, funny enough, we talking about sort of towards the end of the summer when Brian went back to school in September, we started to look at secondary schools for him because he's in his last year of primary school now. So next year he'll be in secondary school. So we had to start looking at them, and for the last, certainly last year, it was all virtual. You know, everything was online. So I was thinking, this, God, you know, is it be online? It's not the same. But everything was open again. You know, everything was open. We could see as you walk around the schools, meet the teachers, shake their hands, which I've got out of the habit of doing over the last 18 months. And I feel like, you know, we're going through the firsts again, the first open days since lockdown's starting to finish, let's hope.
That's interesting, you know, that you were shaking hands with the teachers, because I'm a hugger, actually, a hugger. And it was very weird, I think, meeting people and not being able to give them a hug, which is something I would normally do.
Yeah.
And there were some people who said, oh, no, you know, I'm not worried about it, you know, I'll hug anyway. And I was fine with that, because I'm not restricting myself any more than I have to.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, and so that's interesting. So teachers are happy to shake hands.
Well, it was funny. So I took, there were two local schools that we wanted to look at. And the first one we went to, at the door, they were asking people, that they were kind of making a bit more emphasis about, you know, if you can wear a mask, please do so. We would appreciate it. Obviously, it's no legal requirement anymore, but they were kind of making a bit more of a thing about, we'd be grateful if you did, because you're strangers to the school at the moment, and we just want to sort of try and keep it, you know, called co-retreat, etc. And then literally, 10 days later or so, we went to the second school, and there was no mention of masks. And the teachers at the second school, a couple of them, I approached a couple of teachers to ask about a particular subject that I knew Brian was interested in, or I felt he might struggle with, so I wanted to get a feel for how they would help him. They kind of offered their hand first. And it's that weird thing, because people I don't know, obviously, in the past, I would always offer my hand to them straight away as a form of politeness. If it's someone I know, obviously, I'm the same as you, I'd probably give them a hug. But for a slightly more formal setting, I'd automatically offer my hand. But I found myself sort of censoring myself a little bit to start with, and not offering my hand at all, because I was conscious I didn't know how other people would react to it, if they'd recoil or be worried or anything. But then the more kind of people offered it to me, almost without realising it, I kind of lapsed back into my old mannerisms. And after about 45 minutes, I was shaking hands with everybody.
It take long, does it?
No, it doesn't. And obviously, yeah, you know, I was being careful. I went to the loo halfway, and I've thoroughly washed my hands, and then I was hand sanitized. So I was being sensitive. I was being careful. Of course I was. But, you know, I was just shaking hands because it felt polite. You know, I thought, well, these teachers, depending on how it went, these teachers could be teaching my son. I'm going to have a relationship with him for 5 years at least, longer if he stays on for sixth form. So I want to set the right tone at the start of our relationship, potentially. And it just felt normal.
Well, I think it's a case of getting the balance right, isn't it? So, yeah. I mean, I can't bear the thought of just living in fear.
No.
But I carry a hand sanitizer with me most of the time, because it's vegan for a start. It's vegan friendly, and it's moisturized. You know, it moisturizes as well and everything. So, so I tend to carry my own. But so, if I feel I need to use it, I use it. You know, and but so I think, like you, I would say I'm being careful, but I'm not prepared to live in fear.
No, and I think that's the thing. It's and it has literally just occurred to me during the course of this conversation that it feels kind of different this summer, obviously, to last summer. Of course, it did. It was we hope a once in a lifetime summer, 2020, because none of us had experienced it before. We didn't know what was right, what was wrong. We all reacted differently to it. We interpreted it differently. And we kind of all did withdraw quite a bit, and that's where social issues come up, mental health and etc., which probably not the right time to discuss it. But yeah, this year I think a lot of people are embracing kind of going out more and doing activities more with a vengeance. I know I am, because we didn't have the chance to do anything last year. Silly little things like, you know, taking my son to the arcade or to the cinema, or, you know, standing next to somebody in the queue at the supermarket
And it only occurred to me that we were in the supermarket one day and we stood and I thought, oh God, I'm not stood 2 metres. And I apologised to this person and the person sort of laughed at me and he went, it's fine, he said. We're safe, etc. We're being careful. And it was automatic for me to apologise because I wasn't paying any attention. It would have been my fault if it had been a problem. But yeah, it becomes so ingrained into me after last year.
Yeah, it's weird because I think all the normal things that we took for granted last year, we are really appreciating this year.
And
we've been to cinema as well, actually, and we went to see a film I highly recommend, The Father. I know this is a bit off topic, but...
Something you did this summer?
Yes, it's not off topic at all. I was lying through my teeth. So, it's called The Father with Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman.
I love Olivia Colman. I think she's
it's a brilliant actor. Film. I really would recommend going to see it because it's about, you know, it's sort of tackling the subject of Alzheimer's. Really, really good film. But something that, honestly, Matthew, sometimes I think I'm a bit dim, but don't tell anyone because...
It's between you and me.
Well, they kept referring to the main character played by Anthony Hopkins. They kept referring to him as Anthony. Right, Anthony, you know, do this, Anthony. I thought, that's a strange name to have chosen for an older man. And then it was about halfway through the film before I remembered it was actually Anthony Hopkins. That's probably why they were calling him that. Using his real name.
Oh, Baba.
I know.
Classic.
Oh dear. So that was one of my not quite so quick on the update.
I think we all have them, don't we? We all have them.
Yeah, I seem to have more than my fair share of stories.
I come over. We went to I quite like a sort of science fiction fantasy. So I took Brian to see one of the Marvel films. I can't remember what it was at the cinema this summer. I can't remember what it was now. Ten rings. And it's one of those ones. It was a 12A and
right.
10.5. And so it was you know, a child under 12 could go, but there might be it depends on the maturity of the child.
Right.
I think there was one bad word in it. And I'm always very kind of careful about the use of language around Brian. And immediately he heard this one bad word in the whole film, and I was thinking, he hasn't heard it. And straight away he turned to me and he went, should I be watching this film, Daddy?
Oh, bless him.
And I was like, Brian, it's fine. You're not committing an offence. You're okay. But I think because I hadn't thought to kind of talk to him about it and prepare about it, it hadn't occurred to me, stupidly. But it was one of those really funny things because, you know, having not been to the cinema for a year, yeah. I'd kind of forgotten the etiquette. In a way of kind of, you know, how it all works.
Well, you say that, but yeah, I think because I can remember back to the days of X films, you know, you were supposed to be 16 to see an X film.
Oh, yeah.
First X film I ever saw, I was 13. My friend and I from school, we were both 13, just went back to my place, put loads of makeup on, and then went to watch this film. We managed to get in.
Wow.
Really tame. It was so tame compared with some of the films nowadays. But the whole certification thing bothers me a lot because if it's a 15, I'm slightly twitchy because I think, oh, I don't know about this. You know, it might be too much. Some violence in it. I'm not sure about this. If it's an 18, I just don't watch it because I've seen one or two. I was like, oh God, no, you know, this is really too much for me. So I think, you know, 15 is, that's my limit, you know, and it worries me actually because I compare that with the X film I saw at the age of 13, which was as tame as anything.
Mm.
And compared with the stuff that's in the cinema now, you know, it bothers me about some of these 18 certificates. And I don't think I'm just being a prude or just being a bit lily-livered because I think there's some horrific stuff around.
Mm, I agree. It has changed a lot, I think. I don't know how you feel, because you've been a parent for longer than I have, but I think since I've become a parent, I've become more conscious of, you know, the sort of things my son's watching and you know, trying to sort of very gently filter things out this summer he goes on YouTube occasionally to sort of entertain himself and watch a little bits, on occasions. And I always like to just check. Now, most of the stuff he watches are they're sort of American YouTube channels of people doing trick shots and, you know, shouting loudly about how excited they are that they've got this particular trick shot, and he roars with laughter at what he's watching. But, of course, to me, hearing that kind of loud, raucous laughter, I'm on edge. I'm thinking, well, to me, that sounds like you're about to sort of say a bad word or, you know, be difficult. And actually, it's just them getting very overexcited in that kind of American college type experience thing that they sometimes do. My experience is I have to kind of be aware of very different to this new generation. And the fact that there is a new generation and I'm not it.
Yes.
Offends me in some way.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It's a weird one. I know what you mean. But I suppose I'm just looking at the time, and we've covered your caravan holiday.
Yeah.
We've got many job changes.
Many job changes. Your son's impending marriage, or...
My son's impending marriage.
Or maybe marriage, depending on when people listen to this.
And my exasperating DIY skills or lack of them.
I'm impressed with your DIY skills, Barbara. They're certainly better than mine.
If you haven't seen it...
Oh. I'll have to come for a visit so I can see what you... inspect the job.
It does look nice, actually.
Oh, I bet it does.
Just with it. But yeah, so all that stuff. And visits to the cinema. So we've had quite a jam-packed summer one way or another, I would say.
It's been a good few months, I think. It's been a good few months.
So on that very happy note...
Wonderful.
It's goodbye until next time. So it's goodbye from him.
And it's goodbye from me.
No, hang on a minute.
I've got them on. Yeah, it's goodbye from her.
It's goodbye from both of us.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.